Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's Rob. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. You can also follow us on social media. Rob is at Rob Parker FS1 on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Chris underscore Broussard on Twitter. Chris Broussard 68 on Instagram. All right, we got LeVar Arrington coming up at the bottom of the hour. He's always fun, former All-Pro linebacker, now an NFL analyst for Fox Sports 1. But before we get to LeVar, we're going to go back to the NBA. And Rob Parker, Anthony Davis went berserk last night. I mean, he took Rudy Gobert, one of the best defensive players in the league, I think a two-time defensive player of the year, he took Rudy Gobert to the woodshed and beat him down. 42 points. And I tell you, Rob, what I liked most about what AD did, and I get it, I said this on TV today, I'm not overreacting because he always is great for three quarters. What I need to see is a beast in the fourth. And I liked last night that he showed up in the fourth. You know, up until the last month before the shutdown, Anthony Davis had averaged like 3 points a game in the fourth quarter. And that's just not enough. I mean, to put that in perspective, that would be 12 points per game if you scored 3 points every quarter. And, of course, he's a 27, 28-point scorer. So he should be getting you more than three in the fourth. The last month of the season, he got better. They kind of went to him a lot more. But I thought what he did last night, the best thing about it was in the fourth quarter, he didn't back away. He didn't defer to LeBron. And I don't mean it in a negative way because LeBron's obviously running the show. But Anthony stepped up. It wasn't like, I got to wait to see if LeBron will give me the rock or does he want to shoot. No, he was aggressive. He put up big-time three-pointers. He did his thing. He had 8 points in the last 4 minutes. He had six in the last 43 seconds. That is what the Lakers are going to need from AD if they're going to have a chance to beat the Clippers. What did you think?
I take it with a grain of salt. I do, and I know it's not fair. We know how talented Anthony Davis is, but until we see him when it matters, you know, like that's where he's still going to be judged. What happens when that moment comes? We've seen him disappear in fourth quarters all year. When it matters most, will that aggressive guy from last night show up, or will the guy we normally have seen be the guy who doesn't get it done? And I always say, when you play with LeBron, if all the minions call him the GOAT, and if they don't win and Anthony Davis doesn't play well in the fourth quarter, guess what? Anthony Davis will be the scapegoat. It'll be about AD being soft. He ain't ready for prime time. What happened in the fourth? He was great in the first three quarters, and then they lose. That's what this is going to be, an indictment on Anthony Davis and whether or not Chris, and when people say that he's going to be the reason why the Lakers win or lose, I agree with that. It doesn't mean that LeBron's not going to be a factor or have something to say about it, but if Anthony Davis comes up small in the fourth quarter of these playoff games, they're not going to win, the Lakers. They just aren't.
You bring up an interesting point, Rob. Okay, let's say LeBron plays well. You know, doesn't really dominate like Kawhi and Paul, but let's say LeBron looks like the best individual player in the series. Say he averages, you know, 29 and 9 and 9, or, you know, plays well, but AD doesn't really give him much in the fourth. Play, you know, AD can average a lot of points too in the first three quarters, but if he doesn't deliver in the fourth, you're right. The criticism's going to be, hey, come on. LeBron was facing Kawhi and Paul George and his deep team, and he
AD didn't show up in the fourth quarter.
Do you think that'll be fair?
What do you mean fair?
Like, would you say when if they lose to the Clippers because and AD doesn't bring it in the fourth quarters, do you think it will be fair if the lion's share of criticism goes to him? You know, assuming LeBron plays well.
Yeah, well, you're right. You got to assume that.
Yeah.
But, no, AD will get criticized, but ultimately it's going to hang on LeBron's head as far as losing if they don't get there. Do you know what I mean? Like it'll be
People will bring back up. Right. What about this? You won the, you know, number one seed.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah. You won the West. You went and you got the guy you wanted. Do you know what I mean? Like, you went and got AD to come and play with you and all this other stuff. Ultimately, because LeBron James cast the biggest shadow in the room, Chris, it will come down on LeBron that he came to L.A., put together this team, and didn't win, whatever it is. And then AD will get that. I'm just saying, he will get his share as well for coming up small.
Here's a little perspective. AD, in the four games with the Clippers, he scored
10 total points.
Yeah, 10 total points in the fourth quarters. 10 in the fourth
quarters. That's mind-boggling, seriously, for that guy, Chris. That's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is, because he averaged like 28, 29 against them. But in the fourth, only 10 points. And Skip said today on Undisputed, he only took 9 shots.
Right, he's not aggressive.
Right, and I tell you, LeBron is at his best, and he's all three of his championships have been when he's got a dog with him, when his number two guy is a dog, Dwayne Wade. And I mean that in a positive way, dog. Dwayne Wade, he knew that I got somebody riding with me who can deliver.
And look,
Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie averaged 28 against Golden State. Go look at the numbers.
They both have 41 in what, game 6 of that series or something. I mean, and Kyrie, of course, hit the huge shot to win that series. So LeBron is at his best when he's got full faith in his guy riding with him. And there are those, look, AD is, nobody denies how great of a player he is. But there are people around the league that wonder if he's got the dog in him. Some think he's just soft like that, not physically, but like, you know, that's just not in him. He's just not the take charge type guy. He's not the alpha male that you want in those situations. And we're going to find out, because I think they're going to need AD to be a monster to beat the Clippers. Assuming both teams are whole, AD's going to have to be huge in those fourth quarters. Now, LeBron has shown in the last two games against the Clippers, which the Lakers have won, and granted, the Clippers were depleted, but
they were depleted
LeBron,
and only lost by 2. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't that. Yeah. That to me,
no,
if you
that
look
was
at that, game,
that was a moral victory for the Clippers,
it was,
or at least those that
right?
picked them. But LeBron was great at the end, and that's the first time when they beat him in March. He had 12 points in the fourth quarter. This past game, he had 7 down the stretch. 2 assists, both of them 3-pointers in the fourth. He was huge. Obviously, he hit the game winner too. So he's shown that, and defensively he played well. It's about AD. And I felt, Rob, that the Lakers made a mistake throughout the season in not force-feeding AD in the fourth quarters. Because, again, you know LeBron's track record. You can count on him in the fourth. But AD, I think you had to get him in that mindset of you're the guy in the fourth. It's one thing to feed him in the first three quarters when the pressure's kind of off. But he's got to get used to getting that ball in the fourth quarter when you need a bucket. And I thought the Lakers should have made a concerted effort to do that throughout the season.
Absolutely.
Again, they kind of did it late, but, you know, hopefully for them it wasn't too late.
Yeah, and that's the only problem. You don't know. I think that's still a question mark, Chris. And if he comes up and plays big and they win, then all of that will be for naught. But if not, there's a track record there that you will go back to and say all year he didn't perform right when it mattered most in the fourth. That's the only thing. If he had the big games or whatever, and even if they lost, Chris, you wouldn't be able to go back to that. But because they didn't and he didn't play that well, they'll be able to use that as ammo. So this is going to be a chance of, like I said, a coming out party for him.
Do you – we're looking at – we're assuming a Lakers-Clippers conference final. Do you think either team – right now we're kind of talking Lakers – is in any danger of losing before that?
I think the Lakers have a chance of losing before. I really don't. If the Clippers are healthy and they have their team, I do believe they're going to get there, Chris. I just do. They're deep. They play defense. They got, you don't know where it's coming from. Is it Lou Williams tonight? Is it Paul George? Is it Kawhi? You know, where is it coming from? They have a coach who's already been there, done that, won a championship. I thought last year was Doc Rivers' best coaching job. When we know after they lost,
in LA it was.
Am I right? After they, I mean, in even LA with all the was, other star yeah. players, Chris, that they obviously they won a championship in Boston. But you
I
know
give
what
him
I mean.
That first year I thought was great in with the big three,
right?
Because that but was I'm their saying, first year together. But yeah,
but I you know, you. like just the idea of when Harris was traded, remember? And that was supposedly to toss in the towel on the
right.
season.
Right.
And it didn't right. happen. And he got those guys to play really hard
Tobias
for him.
Harris.
And I was really impressed by what he was able to do. So I just like all the components. I like all the pieces. But I think that depending on the matchup with the Lakers, could they lose earlier? Maybe.
I tell you what's interesting is we've talked about Anthony Davis having that dog in him. There are questions about Paul George. Not Kawhi, but there are questions about Paul George. Now, he has been playing great. His three-point shot has improved. I mean, he's great in that regard now. But there are those that want to see him do it at the highest level, too. And this is what happens, Rob. We can say that about James Harden. We can say that about Chris Paul. We can say that about Russell Westbrook. Until you do it, people are going to have questions. It's just as simple as that. Until you get your team over the hump and play your best basketball when all the games are, you know, important and everything's on the line and you lead to your team to a championship, people are going to say, can he get it done in the clutch?
And we saw it. We saw Michael Jordan, Chris. I mean, I was covering
right.
the
people
NBA.
People said it about
then.
Him.
They said he's a great scorer or whatever, but he doesn't make anybody better, and he'll never win. That's what they used to say.
If they could say it about Jordan, they can say it about anybody. And that is what is happening. And even LeBron went through that. And so we'll see. This is AD's time, but the question is, can he do it against the Clippers? We saw you do it against the Jazz, but can you do it against the LA Clippers? All right, we're going to talk a little bit of Martellus Bennett and Neil Gate. I'm going to call it that. Neil Gate. Yeah, that is coming up next. Keep it locked. Fox Sports Radio. The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. All right, with 2020 as crazy as it's been, you really start to appreciate the little things. I know I haven't talked about ButcherBox in a while, but my monthly delivery of meat is a convenience I very much look forward to. It's one less thing I have to worry about, especially when going to the grocery store nowadays is a hassle. ButcherBox makes assessing high-quality meats easier and more affordable than ever. And they have over 20 different cuts of meat to choose from, and their boxes ship fresh right to your door. Trust the brother. I know from experience. I can't wait to get up in the morning and walk to my front door, robe on, slippers on. I look down. I see a box of free-range organic chicken, 100% grass-fed beef, and fresh-caught seafood sitting right there on the doorstep. It puts a smile on my face that lasts a lifetime. I'm telling you, you gotta get with ButcherBox. Do yourself a favor and sign up. ButcherBox today at butcherbox.com/oddcouple. ButcherBox.com/oddcouple. ButcherBox.com/oddcouple.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. We're brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, and even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning either. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. It works fast. And again, you won't stink. All right, Rob, let's get to the – let's no, we're not getting to the calls because what? It is a
– Trash Talking Tuesday.
That is right. In about 20 minutes, less than 20 minutes, you'll be able to call in and trash anyone or anything in the world of sports. Even Brian Finley, the update guy, with all the verbiage, or myself and Rob or whatever. You can trash anyone, anything, but come correct. So you should start calling in about 15 minutes. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Rob, what I want to get to briefly for a moment, Martellus Bennett, one of the more outspoken NFL players of the current generation, he now he's retired, of course, but he has said, put out a bunch of tweets where he's saying kneeling in 2020 don't hit the same. Those are his words. He said he co-signed this tweet from a fan where the fan tweeted, on everything, it's comfortable now. It's the popular thing to do. When it was uncomfortable, 99.9% of athletes were shook. And so Martellus Bennett, he feels like, you know, everybody's doing it. I guess he's almost saying it's gone corporate and it's not that big of a deal. Doesn't have the same oomph or power. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's self-serving. I mean, I respect him for doing what he did, Chris. At the time when most people, he's right, were not comfortable. And we talked about it, Chris, that players could have easily banded together and been able to do it together as a group,
right,
where they couldn't retaliate against everybody, right? So I give him credit that he was his own man or whatever. But now to chastise other people who have come around. Everybody's not always in on the ground floor, Chris. It takes some time for people. All I'm saying is, why are you patting yourself on the back or like you want something special? Like, well, I did it when I was in a – we get it. And we gave you your props back then, didn't we?
Right.
For guys who were willing to do that. So I just think – to me, it comes off as self-serving. There's a movement going on. There are people who have been touched by everything that's happened in this country, Chris, and it ain't – things have changed, and they're not all the way there. There's legislation and other stuff that have to come along. But don't knock people for joining in and realizing that they missed it. They missed it 4 years ago, right, with Colin Kaepernick. They did.
Right.
But that that doesn't mean you can't eat because you came late to the party. There's food left for everybody.
Right. Yeah, I hate to see that Kaepernick, the guy that started this, is still without a job. So that bothers me. But I'm with you for the most part in that, you know, this is really taking off. And I get Bennett saying, oh, now it's not, you know, when we used to do it early on, you were risking something. But now everybody's doing it. It's not a risk. You're not risking danger. Now, here's the thing, and I can't remember who I saw say this recently on TV, but they were right on the money, and you would know him. It was a famous person. I can't remember who it was. But he said, look, what you're seeing with the NBA, it was Shannon Sharp, okay. And he made a great point. He said, this is a demonstration. It's not a protest. A protest is when the powers that be, you're going against them, right?
Right.
So you're like the NFL doesn't want you to kneel, and you're kneeling. That's a protest. Or they don't want you to wear a Black Lives Matter shirt, and you wear one. But this is more of a demonstration when the whole league is in on it. The whole NBA, Major League Baseball, we'll see what the NFL does. But they're all in on it, and it's a demonstration. But the thing is, a demonstration can be powerful too. Like, this has gone from being a protest to getting some support from the mainstream to the point that now it's become a demonstration. And there's stuff being done, Rob. Like, the NBA, they were saying they were going to have 10, you know, black-owned restaurants in the bubble catering food. They've said they're going to have an economic plan to help black-owned businesses. Major League football has done the same thing. But the NBA,
they missed the boat there with that. Do we need 10 chicken joints in the same spot, Chris?
No. Perfect timing, Alex.
Everything's not funny.
Now, if a white guy would have said that, he'd have been in trouble. He might have got fired. You know
Stop
that?
Stop it.
I mean, I'm not you, but, you know, I'm just saying. But anyway, that's my point. Like, this is kind of the next step of progress. Now, you hit it on the head. It can't stop with this symbolism. This is all just symbolism. It's nice, but it has to lead to real change and impact. So I'm with you. There's no need to, you know, get mad
point
at these
fingers
guys.
And yeah, all that. Yeah. Right.
Because the purpose is, it's almost like he's saying, you know, when we did it, we were telling off the man and we were sticking out. That's not the purpose, though. The purpose is to create change. The purpose isn't to boost somebody's ego and make you feel like you really were hardcore telling somebody off. The purpose is to necessitate change and bring about change, and hopefully that's what we see with all of this in the country with the Black Lives Matter. But it's an interesting time, Rob Parker, and in all of sports, baseball, they're wearing the Black Lives Matter shirts, and
it's unbelievable too. Like, you know, right behind the pitching mound, you see it, Chris. You know, the Black Lives Matter. I mean, yep. I'm impressed. I really am. And it's funny, too, because MLB, the letters are the same letters for Black Lives Matter.
Right,
MLB.
Right. Backwards. Really, that's true. That's right? Wow. Did somebody point that out? Did you just?
I've been watching, and I looked at the letters. I was like, it's the same letters.
Yeah. You know what else? And we've talked a lot about getting more Black Americans in the game. But you got to be, there's a lot of color in the game. You know, it's not Black Americans, but
no,
I mean, there's tons of Hispanics and people of African descent from the Caribbean and South America and things like that. And obviously, you know, white players. So it's a lot of color in the game, just not that many Black Americans. Okay. We got LeVar Arrington coming up next. It was always fun to talk with LeVar. We'll get his take on what Martellus Bennett said. That's coming up next. But first,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Now an NFL analyst for Fox Sports 1, our friend LeVar Arrington. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
Great to have you on, as always. Let's get right to it. I don't know if you said, did you see where Martellus Bennett said that the significance of kneeling now, you know, for the pro athletes has been diminished because obviously so many guys are doing it. What's your take on that?
I mean, my take is that I think a whole lot of people will always have their ideas and opinions about how things work out. But, I mean, at this point, and even in the beginning, it should have always been viewed as an act of solidarity. And that to me, is as personal as the person who's doing it for the reasons that they're doing it. So it's become such a big thing that I just think that everybody has something to say about it and has an opinion based upon it. But I mean, in the beginning, it was meant to stand for something and have some meaning to it. And I think now it's still, it's still the same for some. And I think for others, I think they've jumped on board because maybe pressure or one thing or another. But in the truest sense of why it was done to begin with was for solidarity and to bring attention to the issues that people were trying to bring attention to. So, you know, I don't really look at it as it being diminished if it's continuing to keep the conversation going.
Totally agree. It hasn't been diminished to me because just so many people are involved. And everybody's not always on board, you know, LeVar, like from day one. That's just not how life works. Sometimes it takes situations to get people to finally understand. But anyway, I do want to switch to football real quick. Chris and I earlier in the show, I'm going with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. I look at them as the favorites in the AFC. First of all, hard to win. It's hard to repeat in the NFL. We know that. That's working against the Chiefs. And also, last year, I know winning kind of covers up everything, but Lamar Jackson and the Ravens were pretty darn good. Beat a lot of playoff teams, won 12 in a row, won five games by 21 or more points. They have a good defense as well. Am I crazy to think that they have a shot at coming out of the AFC?
And they added J.K. Dobbins in that backfield, and I'm not sure how many people really know how good that young fella is. I mean, he is something special. So I don't think that you're off on your prognostication, but I will say I am a tad bit leery after seeing 2 years in a row defenses catch up to him. Either it was defenses that caught up to him in the playoffs, and I saw some bigger hits on him in the playoffs in that last game that they lost to Tennessee. But I don't know if it was play calling. So if it was play calling, then I have reason to believe that Lamar could come out and maybe they just continue to let him be Lamar once they get into those bigger games. But I'm just not 100% sold yet on what he may be able to do once they get deep into those playoffs. Or to that point, you know, that because they were the number one seed, what do you do in that divisional round? And that's kind of, for me, that's the biggest question as it applies to the Ravens.
I mean, you've been in those film sessions, strategy sessions, all that, you know, games. How different, like how much more prepared for a guy like Lamar do you think teams are in the playoffs?
I mean, I think that the level of play always goes up in the playoffs. It's a little faster. It's a little bit more everything, more energy, more excitement, more resolve. I don't know why that is. I didn't play in very many playoffs, but as a spectator and just personal conversations, that always seemed to be. And then when I got into the playoffs and had an opportunity to play, it certainly felt, your body felt different. Just things just felt different when you were in the playoffs. So, but to that point, there's only so much you can do to try and defense an offense that has multiple weapons, especially if it's coming out of the running back's position. If you have a ability to spread the field, stretch the field out, you're almost talking about snap and a punt return, because you know you got to cover the quarterback as if he's like a Devin Hester. Right. Getting the ball at the quarterback's position, but at any point in time could possibly release it and throw it. So even though defenses have done fairly well against him in the playoffs, I still look at it as it's still a complex game plan to come into the game knowing that you can't really predict only that. You can predict he's going to run, but you can't predict what he's going to do when he runs or how he's going to leave the pocket or how he's going to scamper. So it's just hard to create, you know, a game plan where you try to box them in. It makes sense when you write it up and you draw it up and you practice it up, but it's totally different once you get in the game.
The Tampa Bay Bucks added Shady McCoy. Was Larry Zonka not available? Are they putting together an old timers game or what? I mean, sometimes
I
you can get
reunion of Cocoon myself personally.
Am I right?
I certainly think that we are, I always feel like there's an undervaluing of how much talent it takes to be an elite football player in the National Football League. So when we have moments like these and you take the nostalgia of what somebody has represented, the nostalgia of what Shady has represented, Tom Brady, Gronkowski, in your mind, it makes a ton of sense and it's exciting, but I'm just not certain that when you see the real product on the field, that we will be as moved as talking about it and wondering about what it's going to look like and what it's going to feel like once it takes place.
Chris, you like that? I dug pretty deep for Larry Zonka. You sure did.
Yeah. You went into your bag.
And for all the millennials who don't know, Google Larry Zonka, who had one of the worst fumbles in the history of the NFL.
Oh, there you go. But he also had the greatest season of NFL, I believe.
Yeah. Right. Last thing, and we only got about a minute left, LeVar.
Okay.
Talking about Lamar Jackson. He was ranked number one by the players as the best player in the league. Obviously, a lot of people would say.
He's number one.
You think he's better than Mahomes?
It's not that he's better than Mahomes. He's the returning MVP of the league. So as it stands right now, he's the number one guy that people have to knock off.
So let me ask you this. Who, as a defensive player, and you were a linebacker, who would be harder, who would be more difficult to prepare for and play? Mahomes in the offense he runs or Jackson in the offense he runs?
I mean, it's like asking, how do you want to die? Do you want to die by rocket launcher or grenade launcher?
Can I die in my sleep?
they both can launch it, and it both can touch down and blow you up. So it's kind of like just picking your poison on that. To say one over the other is to just say you want to die differently than the other one. So it's kind of like, for me, you're going to, you know, the talent level that those guys are bringing to the table, you know, it's kind of pick your poison with them. I wouldn't even feel comfortable saying one over the other, because I think they're both that gifted in different ways, of course, but both truly very gifted, talented, generational players.
All right. That's our man, LeVar Arrington. Great stuff as always.
Thank you, bud.
We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Yep.
All right. Rob, it is what?
Trash talking Tuesday.
Wowzy, wowzy, woo, woo.
That's right. Get on those phones.
That's right. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in with Chris and Rob. Trash Talk is next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple. We're brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone's got more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online, grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone, folks. AutoZone. All right, Rob, it's time for Trash Talking Tuesday.
Don't you ever talk about me.
It's Trash Talking Tuesday.
It's your teeth, Reggie. I don't know whether to smile at you or kick a field goal, man.
All right, let's get right to it. 877-99 on Fox, Rob.
All right, I put my phone down once.
All right, if you get cut, it's Rob's fault. You see, he wasn't ready.
Sorry about that. All right, let's go.
You're fired.
Let's go. Sorry about that. I thought I had my phone. All right, let's start with Steve in Los Angeles. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. Who you trashing?
I'm trashing John Elway for drafting Bradley Chubb over Lamar Jackson.
All right, go ahead.
You know Is that it?
Y'all over here saying all of this, he could have been playing for the Denver Broncos, taking over whoever we had, Case Keenum, and who else did we have? Osweiler. But he went ahead and drafted Bradley Chubb. We could have had the MVP, and I also want to bash. That's it.
All right. No, Steve, and your case is,
we get it.
You know what's funny is Elway's had a terrible time, Chris, with quarterbacks, you know?
No doubt.
In Denver.
Doubt.
He really has.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, Rob in Pennsylvania, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. Rob, who you trashing?
Yeah, what up, you guys? I got to trash the MLB because this is just a bunch of foolishness. And this is my favorite game, Rob. I'm sorry. You're my big brother, but I got to get him.
I'm listening.
First, the extra innings. Then, you got players opting. After they already opted out, like Nick Markakis. And then the Marlins had a group touch to decide whether they're going to play. And what league, Rob, what league has ever decided the teams that are going to get in the playoffs were off a winning percentage? Talk about a Mickey Mouse league, Rob. And they, when they had a chance to do the bubble, Mike Trout, the leader of the whole MLB, said, hell no. Come on, man. This is bull crap. I love the MLB. I've been watching it since I was 10. And one thing, Rob, I'm mad at you because if LeBron said no to a bubble, you'd be killing him. You got to kill Mike Trout.
All right, that's fair. Tony in Los Angeles, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. Who you trashing, Tony?
Hey, what's up, Chris? What's up, Rob?
What's up, man?
Rob, this is for you, baby. All right. I'm trashing everybody out there who says Steph Curry is better than Isaiah Thomas. Steph Curry can't tie Isaiah Thomas's shoes for three reasons, and these are transferable truths. Isaiah Thomas was known as a brawler. The first time Steph Curry would have hit a three-point shot and shimmied, Isaiah Thomas would have hit him with a right cross. Bow. Number two, Isaiah Thomas was known for kissing brothers on the cheek. You know what I'm saying? He would have kissed Steph Curry on the cheek and used a little bit of tongue. And then number three, Isaiah Thomas would have sat Steph Curry down Indian style and braided his hair like they do on Rikers Island, maximum security. And Steph Curry would have ran down to City Hall and changed his name from Steph Curry to Stephon Curry.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. Tony. All right.
Tony's he's pushing the envelope,
a
right?
little bit. Very nice, Tony. Golly. Good job. Max in Georgia, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. Who you trashing, Max?
I'm doing a weekly trash of LeBron. LeBron needs his teammates to shoot better, to pass better, to defend better. LeBron at times even needs a good shove in the back to defend somebody. The media, mainly ESPN, tried to hide the fact that LeBron James had his worst game of the season. The Raptors provided LeBron James with season lows in field goal percentage, field goals made, and even assists. The Raptors made you look scared to defend somebody, scared to be a leader of a team. I've watched you hide from countless defensive assignments this new season of the bubble. I know why AD is shell-shocked in the fourth quarter. I do. It's because he doesn't trust your leadership. He doesn't trust that the media and LeBron minions won't have his back. Kobe showed leadership through his game, his willingness to be vulnerable and still thrive. Kobe would never have let his game fall this hard, this fast. If Kobe had AD in his prime of his career, you would never have been allowed to defend the champs and be embarrassed in the Showtime Laker. Hell no. When you have an 81-point game, hell no. That's right, because you have a 3-6 in the finals. You don't have a Mamba mentality. LeBron's mentality is simply a losing mentality at best.
Wow.
Ooh.
Just some flames.
All right.
We don't have time to get to Mace. We only got a minute, Mace. I apologize.
Mace, we haven't heard Mace in a while either.
Yeah, Mace, sorry, you were last up, and there's no way you got a minute trash.
Can't do it.
So we're going to have
Mace
to wait
was probably
for next
taking
Tuesday.
It. He was probably trashing somebody from 1997.
Right. He was trashing Brad Sellers.
No, you're close. Brad it was Sellers. Actually Vlade Divac. He told me off the air.
Was it?
Yes.
I want to trash Ronald McDonald.
For not wanting Luka?
No, I promise you, it was nothing that current that he was trashing him about.
Right. I tell you what, though. We got to talk about Luka, Rob. Luka, what'd he go for? 34, 20 boards, and 12 assists today, I think?
He's a stud.
That dude, oh, my gosh. He is. If he starts winning championships, Rob, and it's this way with
he's
all the
still early, right? He has a shot.
But he's ahead of the game, though. They're a lot better than expected. All right, Odd Couple, tomorrow we'll be back with you guys. Peace!